It's great to celebrate days like today, and it's great to celebrate what God has put in place in terms of, you know, fathers and dads. And we're going to kind of look more widely at kind of men, not just dads and fathers this morning. But when we celebrate a day like today, it brings a very sharp awareness of what is going on in society, because we're celebrating something that is also a real issue in our culture, particularly in this nation. In this nation, we have the worst record for teenage pregnancies. We have the worst record in Europe, that is. And in this nation, we have the worst record for STD, sexually transmitted diseases. We have the highest, or one of, if not the highest, one of the highest divorce rates in our nation. Again, we have one of the highest where people just live together and don't get married. We have one of the highest rates of family breakdown and people living in single parent homes. We, in one sense, in this nation, seem to be leading Europe in so many ways that really don't represent God's righteousness or the way that God has called us to as a nation. And on one level, we celebrate fathering, we celebrate fatherhood, and we celebrate the goodness of God in our lives, but also we're aware of the tension, the battle that there is for our nation. And we're aware of the battle and the tension that there is for our families and for our communities and for our society. And last week, Pastor Paul brought an excellent word, you know, that just really kind of set up this morning. And one of the things that he was talking about, if I can find what on earth I did write in relation to what he was saying last week, he had 3 points at the beginning. Live the promise. If you live the promise, you'll live the victory. If you live the victory, you'll live the success. But then he gave us 3 why-nots. And sometimes we don't do these things because either we don't want to, or we don't like it, or we're not bothered, as he put it. But then he gave us 3 hows from 1 Kings 13. The need to stand up, to take our place as God's people. The need to grab the dream of what God has given us, the vision and the purpose he's called us to individually and then corporately. But also the third thing was to live the now. That we weren't always just living in the future of what we would like to see, but we would live the now of what God has said, and that we would live the now passionately with a fervency in our lives. And this is what he said last week was great, because I feel it just kind of sets up what I believe God wants to say, but also what he wants to do. So I only want to talk for about 15 minutes. So there's a lot to pack in to 15 minutes, because I believe we need to give some space for God to move this morning and to do some stuff amongst us, particularly amongst the men in the place. Okay, so on every one of the men, whether you're a dad or not, it doesn't matter this morning. I want to speak to the blokes. You could be 6 years old in here if you're not in one of the kids groups. You could be 120 and everything in between. I believe God wants to speak right into the hearts and lives of every man here this morning. But in relation to that, he wants to speak to every woman here also this morning. Because as we take our respective places in the call of God, then that enables the things of God to rise, the purposes of God to rise, the power of God to rise, the effectiveness of God to rise, and therefore the fulfillment of what he says to us as a church to rise, and everything he says to us in our personal lives to rise. Now, but Pastor Paul and Jane, in the last few weeks, have both spoken from Psalm 68. And the first verse of Psalm 68 says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let his foes flee before him. Now, they both spoke about that. And God's encouragement to us as a church to let God arise. Let God have a greater place. Give him more space in our lives. And as God arises, his enemies are scattered. And one of the things that Jane said a few weeks ago was that sometimes we can have friends in our lives, things that we like, but actually they're an enemy to God's purposes. And how we wanted to let God arise in our lives so that maybe some of the friends that we keep, as in the things we like and don't like, the things we like to do, what we give our lives to, not just physical friends, but the things we allow our lives to be kind of affected by. She was saying that we want to let God arise in us so that some of these things are broken off. Some are strongholds and things that hold us back, restrictions, limitations, intimidation, isolation, various things get broken off our lives so that God arises in a stronger way in us. Now, I want to look at a few scriptures. If you want to turn to Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5, we're going to look at those two chapters briefly this morning. But if we're going to see God arise and his enemies be scattered in society, then there needs to be a level of God arising afresh amongst us as a people. So therefore, there's certain responsibilities that we have as people to stir up that gift that is within us, to stir up what God has placed inside of us, not just to take things for granted, not to have a laissez-faire or a laid-back attitude to the things of God in us, but that we're priming the pump of God's life, priming the pump of God's word, priming the Holy Spirit in us and in our lives so that we're strengthening what is in there. We don't have a reputation for being strong, but yet in reality being weak. There's a scripture in Revelation 3 that talks about, you know, your reputation is to be strong, but yet you are weak. And then it says, but strengthen what remains. Now, we don't want to have a reputation in any way for being strong or to have a that kind of thing, but yet be weak in different ways. We want to strengthen what is there, not because it's remaining, but because God has called us to prime the pump, to stir up that gift that is within us. As Paul said last week, to stand in that place in our lives personally, but also corporately, to grab everything that God is saying to us, and then to live the now, the good of what God is saying today, that we're not just waiting for something in the future, but we're priming the pump today, we're living the dream today, living the call of God today, standing in the things of God today, not giving the enemy any room to try and have some space to steal, kill, and destroy, but understanding we have an authority in the Spirit, a place in the Spirit, that we can tear down strongholds of the enemy. We don't have to allow things into our lives that cause destruction, but we stand there with the authority of God, with the power of God, with the Spirit of God inside of us, saying we will not let the enemy into our lives any longer. We take authority over things in the town and the community we live in. We are not having the enemy ravage our region. We are not having the enemy any longer having an effect on our nation. It's time for the church to rise up to be the people of God he's called us to be. Amen. Now, in Judges chapter 4, it talks about the nation of Israel having gone away from God, having sold out to the enemy and to false gods and idols. And it says here that the nation realize it and they cry out. And God raises up a woman called Deborah, who's a prophetess who was leading the nation, but God began to raise her up to begin to lead. And the other nations that were coming against them were led by, or the armies were led by a guy called, I don't know how you pronounce it, I think Sisera, something like that, or Sisera. And he headed up all the armies, and he had stacks of chariots and horsemen and all that kind of thing. And Deborah said, we're going to ambush the opposition. And she said to Barak, who was leading the armies of Israel, you know, you need to go down into the battlefield and you need to take this guy. What I'll do, I'll lure him to bring his armies to a certain place. And then I want you to go onto the battlefield and you're going to take him. You're going to have him. We're going to have victory over our enemies. And but the man's response to Deborah was, I will only go if you come with me. Now, on one level, he was saying to her, you're the leader of the nation, and you represent an authority. So if I'm going to go, you've got to come with me because you're bringing the word of the Lord. And I want God to come with me into my situation. But the flip side of that, when I was reading it, and I felt God say, is sometimes as blokes, God speaks. And then we look to the women to say, are you going to come with us or not? And if you do, then we're going to go. Rather than the bloke saying, God has spoken, we're going to go, and we're going anyway, whether the women are coming with us. And what the women are looking for is blokes to say, God has spoken, we're going. And then the women say, come on, let's go with where the blokes are going. And all the women shouted, hallelujah! Okay. And all the men went, come on. All the blokes went, what was that? All the blokes go, hooah. All the women go, yay! Great, fantastic. J24/7 on Sunday morning. Now, So this guy goes down and they do what Deborah had said. Deborah goes with them. They ambush the enemy and they have victory and everything. And then it goes into chapter 5 and the Song of Deborah, as it's titled in the NIV, she obviously begins to sing this song. At the beginning of chapter 5, it says, when the princes in Israel take the lead, when the men in the nation take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. So she's saying, when the men rose up and did what God had spoken, when there was a willingness to offer themselves, victory was established over the enemy. So part of let God arise and let his enemies be scattered is a call from God to us as a church, but also the call for us as the men in the church to let God arise in us in a fresh way. So that his enemies, God's enemies, are scattered. So that we lead the people into the battlefield so that there's a victory that is won. Now just look in chapter 5, verse 13 onward. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak, rushing after him into the valley, that's into the battlefield. But in the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Why did you stay among the campfires to hear the whistling for the flocks? In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan, and Dan, why did he linger by the ships? Asher remained on the coast and stayed in his coves. Now, there was obviously two different things going on in this story. There were a number of men in the nation that followed Barak, that responded to the word that Deborah had brought, and they followed them into the battlefield to establish the victory. But there was also a whole bunch of guys that either weren't moved or were unconcerned about the state of the nation. And so they stayed out in their fields. They stayed out with their ships, or they stayed out in certain places. And he says there was much searching of heart. In one sense, there wasn't a heart there for the battle. There was something that was missing that didn't respond to the heart of God or to the word of the Lord to stand at this moment to get victory over the enemy. And God is speaking to us as a church to let him arise so that these enemies, his enemies, are scattered. Now that affects us personally in our everyday lives. One of the things that we're going to be doing on the 8th of July in the evening, there's going to be a meeting here for any parents of children in the church or young people from 11 years old up to 18, 19 years old. A number of parents have either spoken to Jane or myself, one of the other leaders, wanting to really pray for their own young person or child or for the young people. And some of that has been a concern out of things that have been in their hearts, and some of that because one or two parents have felt isolated in the sense that they feel they're doing a bad job with their child or young person and everybody else seems to be doing all right. And one of the things the devil loves to do is isolate people and make you feel like you're doing a rubbish job with your kids. Because the devil wants us to live by fear. And what does fear do? Fear means you react and you start to try and control the situation, therefore putting a false pressure on the people in that situation. If we parent with fear, then we bring a false pressure on our young people. When we parent with fear, we begin to become lawish. We tend to be more full of law than grace. Because we're not motivated by faith, believing that through our parenting, God is going to develop and impact our kids so they raise to become the people God has called them to be. But if we parent with fear, it brings a false pressure on our kids. And God wants to lift any of that kind of stuff off, any sense of fear of how your kids are going to turn out, isolation of I'm doing a bad job and all of that. And so on the 8th of July, we're going to have it's going to be like a forum, really, for parents. We're going to be praying, but it's a forum also to share things as to what is on your heart and what you believe God's saying. But we're going to be praying together. We're going to hit some stuff together. And that's really going to be the first one of those meetings. We're going to have them maybe once every 6 weeks or so, and just pray into the younger kind of people, some of the children and young people in the church. But as parents, us taking responsibility, not just leaving it to the youth leaders or to the J247 leaders. Some of those guys are going to be with us on that evening. But as parents, we let God arise in a fresh way. We stand in that place of authority as parents. It's us that have the first line of responsibility for our kids. And so just chatting to a number of you, I know you've been sensing we need to pray. We need to get in there. We need to contend for our young people. We need to see them become even stronger in the things of God. We need to see them stepping more fully into everything that God has for them individually and as a body of people. Amen. So that's going to be taking place in a few weeks' time on the 8th of July in the evening. Now, just to come back to this story. Sorry, I'm rushing a bit because I want to just give some time in a few minutes. Where there were some people, it says here in verse, wherever it is, 23. Or verse 23. It says, "Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord, curse its people bitterly, because they did not help, they come to help the Lord against the mighty." Now, that verse is saying, you know, curse these people. No, we're not into doing that. But what it highlights is those that went to the battlefield were helping the plan of God. Those that stayed away, either because they weren't concerned or hadn't really clicked as to what God wanted to do, obviously didn't either have a heart for the fight, or they didn't understand the purposes of God, or, like Paul said last week, maybe didn't like it, didn't want it, or not bothered. But those that did go, they began to stand up, they grabbed the dream, and they began to live the now of the victory that God wanted to give the nation. And this morning, I believe for us as men, God is calling us to stand up, to live the dream, to live the now. But he wants us to be out on the battlefield. We're not in a friendly game. What we're living now is not a rehearsal for something that's going to happen in 5 years' time. Sometimes we can think, if we live in the future, in the sense that, you know, it'll be great when we're living in what God says he's going to do. If we always live like that, we always see the now as a friendly match. Whereas there's no such thing as a friendly. We are in the game. We are in the real thing today. There is pressure, there is tension, there is all kinds of things going on that want to steal, kill and destroy our lives, family life, marriages, relationships, things that just want to break down the whole fabric of society. But a few of them, I don't know how many, heard the purposes of God and said, right, we're going to follow Barak, the leader of the armies, and follow Deborah, who was the leader of the nation. We're going to follow them onto the battlefield because God wants to establish a victory. Yep. And that means they had to pay a cost. They're going to have to put their life on the line. God has promised us victory, but we've still got to go in and take the situation, overcome the opposition. We've still got to go and establish God's promise in reality. Sometimes that takes work. Sometimes that challenges our flesh. Sometimes it challenges whether we can be bothered or not. I think one of the greatest things we can have on our lives is a right amount of spiritual pressure. I think it's important that we have a spiritual pressure on our lives. And I think it's good at times that we are a little bit disturbed in our spirit. If you are always completely peaceful and happy and life's just la-di-da, then we need to stir up that gift that is within us, the spirit in us, because sometimes we need to feel some disturbance on the inside as to what is happening around us, because without any disturbance, we go into an apathy, familiar, kind of relaxed, laid back, everything's all right, God's in control. We know that. But at the same time, there needs to be something stirring up on the inside of us that helps to and causes us to move into a greater effective kind of mode of action. Yeah. Vitality of spirit in prayer. Now, God has called us as a people of prayer, and we need to rise up in prayer as a church. When we have a VIP, we need to see that as a, it's not just for those, a few people who want to come and pray. The VIPs, if we understand, that's the point where we, the trumpet sound comes. If we look at Nehemiah very quickly, we won't turn there because I'll just talk to you some of the things I was going to talk about. When Nehemiah heard from God, go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, he got favor from the king. He got all the supplies he needed. He went and looked over the city. He gathered all the people around that were from the city who felt despair and disillusionment because of the state of their lives. And he gathered them and he began to give them vision. Come on, we can rebuild the city. We can rebuild the walls. God is with us. And they all went, yeah. And So they began the work and he began to station people all around the place. It names goldsmiths, silversmiths, people who are good at art, people who are leaders of the community, people who are different kinds of business people with different skills. No matter what they did, everybody was involved in the building, and he positioned families in different places, saying that they're going to stand guard over different parts of the walls as well as building them. And it was like God had given him a plan as to how to build, but it took everybody to fulfill the plan and the purpose. And there's a number of things in chapter 4, just try and zip through these, of Nehemiah. They had a lot of opposition all the way through the building of the walls. Constant opposition. If we're going to move in the things of God, we are going to have constant opposition. But it's how we deal with it that determines how much we continue to move in what God says and the victory of what God says. Absolutely. They had threats all the time. You will never do this. Who do you think you are? But Nehemiah kept saying, God has spoken to us. Come on, we can do this. And he said to the guys in verse 13, therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall of the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your homes. We need a fighting spirit that we contend for our sons, our daughters, our wives, our husbands, our friends, basically for the people. A fighting spirit contending for our homes, for our communities, for our society, that no matter what the enemy's trying to do, no matter what he's trying to shout, we're saying we're going for something that looks impossible, but we will not stop until we're living in it and we see it. Amen. When our enemies heard that we were aware of this, they this, that, and the other, and we just carried on the work anyway. Come on. From that day on, half the men did the work while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with the work with one hand and a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. What is that? That's every person understanding their responsibility and place in the body to pray and to work. That every person works, but every person praise. Every person is involved into the life of the thing, but every person also is standing there saying, I'm contending for the victory of what we're all about. Okay, then the next thing. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest, verse 19 of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. That's the corporate prayer. Strength, faith, whatever, the corporate dynamic of what they have. Once a month, we have a VIP. That is the trumpet call for the body to gather together, to stand in the spirit and say, we are going for the victory of what God has given us for our community, our region, and our nation and beyond. After Sunday morning, that once a month thing is the next important thing that we do together. That's the establishing of victory. That is the battlefield for us as a church. When we come together for a VIP, that's the point where we gather on the battlefield and we declare the victory, we command the victory, we decree the victory. That's where breakthroughs happen. And when we go from that place, we see them happen in the workplace, in every setting that we live our lives. But that's the place of breakthrough, release, and victory. Amen. Amen. So the next VIP in July, whenever it is, what we want to do is we're going to make it a bit earlier and we're going to make it a whole church event that night from 6 o'clock onwards. So kids, adults, whatever age you are, whoever you are, it's everybody, the church gathering together in this place, in here, and we're going to hit some stuff in prayer. We're going to involve the kids in the way we do the whole thing. But like Nehemiah, he posted families at the walls. Now we inside Jerusalem at night so they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day. Neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon even when he went for water. They never let their guard down. They were constantly ready, whether they went to get a glass of water or whether they were in prayer, whether they were in their workplace doing their job, no matter what they were doing, they were always ready, on guard, fit, vigilant, ready for whatever.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. And that's part of God's call upon us as a body of people. To be fit, to be ready, to be fully armored, to be working, to be praying. Whatever job you have out there in society, in your life, you work at it with all your heart, but yet at the same time, you're a person of prayer. You're being vigilant with the vision that God has given us and how that's worked out in your workplace, how we're working out that as a church. When the trumpet sound calls, we gather together because the victory that we establish when we gather together will affect all of us in every sphere of our lives. God wants us to stir up the gift that is within us, the Holy Spirit. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. So there's a trumpet sound from heaven at the moment to us as a church. Let God arise.
Come on.
So we need to do it. Three people. Gideon was in the wine press, full of fear. God called him out of fear and intimidation and insecurity. He began to lead the nation into victory. David was out looking after the sheep, but it was time for him to step into God's purpose. And God brought him out of obscurity and brought him into a place of, again, what ultimately meant in terms of leading and affecting the nation. Joseph, the second youngest of 12 brothers, had some dreams. His position said, you're the second youngest out of 12. There's no way you can do anything. But yet God positioned him to have influence and effect. God takes what we don't expect, that's us, and he does something incredible with it. And it's time for us to stand in a fresh way. The men, us, all of us, as men in the church, to stand in a fresh way at this time. To take responsibility, as spiritually, in terms of prayer, in terms of leadership in the life of the church, in terms of leadership in our life groups, in our families, in just being men in the church, being a great role model for anybody that looks at our lives. To say, I want some of that. I want to be like that. There's something that bloke has. There's a stature. There's a confidence. There's a something that is about that guy that I want to copy. I want to emulate. I want that in my life.
Come on.
Amen. It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? We're not saying let's rev it up to try and make something happen. But I believe God wants to do something this morning. Let's all stand, shall we? We've got 10 minutes for God to do some stuff amongst us. Is that all right? So if you don't want to be part of this, that's okay. But what I'd like is all the men to come down the front in this space, down the front here. We might just want to, if we could maybe stack the first row onto the second row, just very quickly, that'd be really helpful. I don't know about you, but I don't want this nation to have the reputation and the actual statistics saying that we're leading Europe in a negative way, i.e. we've got the worst, you know, sexually transmitted disease rate in Europe, that we've got the highest teenage pregnancy, we've got the highest rate of divorce, we've got all of this stuff. We want to see that changed. But it starts with the men of God rising up, going into the battlefield of life, and however we express that, taking God's life and victory into that place. I mean, in different ways. Now, rather than standing like this, ready for ministry, I want you just to somehow, just if you guys can move back a bit, and maybe some of the guys come in and face each other and create a bit more of a massive huddle down the front here. A huddle, rugby scrum, whatever. Just something that's a bit more, not in a big circle with a big gap in the middle. So just all kind of gather right in, crunch right in, kind of come in much more in the middle, okay? So kind of just press in together. Thank you, Jesus. Ladies, do these guys look dangerous or what? See all the blokes, look at me a minute. You guys, you have stature in God.
Yeah.
You have an authority in God. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You have the presence of God on your life. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life. And God is encouraging us to live from that place of how He sees us, that we don't see ourselves just as a mere bloke that's not very spiritual or whatever. What is being spiritual anyway? Sometimes we think being spiritual is the one who shouts the most or prays the loudest or looks like they're, you know, should be on stage preaching to everybody. You know, being spiritual is simply submitting your life to God and walking in what He's called you to walk in. That's how you live a spiritual life. Whatever sphere He's called you into, whatever He's put before you, that you just simply obey what He's saying to you and you do it with a whole heart. And when you do it with a whole heart, that is what releases the power of God afresh in your life in whatever situation. It's not, I've got to become like a leader in the church. God's not saying there's only a few that are called to do this kind of leadership in the church, but 95% of what God sets in place is to have influence and leadership out there in the community and beyond. And wherever God's called you, He simply says, just humble yourself. Let me infuse you afresh with the Holy Spirit, and whatever I put in your heart to do, however I lead you in your sphere and your world you're in, that's where things are going to break out in a fresh way. But also I want to encourage you, especially if you're married and if you've got kids, to take responsibility. Take responsibility in your family life. Don't just leave raising your kids to your wife. Don't just leave discipline of your kids to your wife. You know, one of the vacuums we have out in their society is a complete lack of fathers as a role model. We've got generations of people now that haven't been fathered. So many people now don't even know how to father. Most kids, 10, 11, 12, a lot of kids are just left to run riot and go out and do whatever they like, especially more in inner city areas. But we see it in Horsham. 10, 11, 12-year-olds on a Friday and Saturday night running riot around the town. What is that? It's an abdication of responsibility. That's part of it. Because of everything they're going on. And we want to contend to see that restoration, to see a reformation, to see something transformed, not only in our community, but in our nation. Amen. And you have that on the inside of you already. You have that spirit in you already. That spirit to transform things, to change things, to revolutionize things, to set an example, to set the pace, to give the tone to one. You have it in you already. It's there. It's alive. It's vibrant. It's kicking. It's full of God because it is God. Amen. So we're just going to pray and we're going to submit ourselves afresh. But then what I want the ladies to do, I want all the ladies to pray, because what I want the ladies to do and what you have a response is to champion the blokes.
Amen.
When Sarah heard that, you know, Abraham and Sarah, when Sarah heard that Abraham was going to be a father, be a dad or whatever, she laughed, didn't she? You see, and God heard that. And what we don't want and what the blokes don't need, because God will say to a bloke, I want to do something with you. The last thing the bloke needs is for the woman to laugh and go, yeah, that'll be the day. Because blokes can be very easily undermined. You know, the blokes, there can be one sentence said by a woman to a bloke and that can really undermine a bloke's confidence. It might be the other way around as well, but I'm just trying to champion the blokes for a minute. It doesn't take much to undermine the confidence of a bloke. That's why so often blokes respond by going, phew, I'm all right. You know, and they all become like a rooster, don't they? You know, it's like, I'm all right. But actually, there's been a few things said about them and they feel undermined, wounded, and they feel the only way I can respond is that they either shut off or most guys go, I'm all right, everything's okay. But actually, there's a few cuts and a few wounds. And we want to champion men of God in the church here. And what I mean by men of God, it's not just people on a platform. It's being a man of God right where God has called you to live your life. Because that's where the release of God's life, anointing, fruitfulness is in our families, in our jobs, in our community, and whatever we're doing as part of the life of the church and the vision of it. So we're just going to pray, first of all. Let's just, all the blokes, I want you just to close your eyes for a minute. I want you just to raise your hands, as it were. Just submit yourself afresh to the Lord. Just come under His lordship right now. Submit to His authority, His leadership in your life. Bring yourself under Him being your master. Just ladies, just pray for the guys at this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you just for the humility of heart and spirit for every bloke, every man here this morning. Father, I thank you. Like you spoke to Deborah and you gave her the word of the Lord for the nation, Barak, go down to the valley, take the men with you and get ready to ambush the enemy. Father, you've been saying to us, let God arise and let His enemies be scattered. Father, we want to be quick to respond to what you're saying at this time. Father, we want to be quick to respond to that call to the battlefield, that we're not just in a practice match or a warm-up game or a friendly, but we're in the real deal at this time. Father, I thank you right now for a stirring up in every man here. A stirring up of what is on the inside. Stirring up in the spirit of every man. That contention of spirit to contend for your purposes. To contend for generations, Father. Come on, men. I just want you to begin to pray in the spirit right now. All the men, just pray strong in the spirit right now. God is calling us into the battlefield, every one of us, to come out of caves, to come out of just being on the fringe of things. But God is saying, come right into the center of what I'm doing. Come right onto the battlefield, because that's where the victory is. The victory is on the battlefield. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I just want to pray. You don't have to raise your hands for this, but just keep your eyes closed for a minute. Some of you dads, I know generally it might be as parents, but just at the moment, some of you dads feel like you're not doing a very good job with your kids. Some of you feel a bit isolated. Some of you feel like you've failed. Some of you might have, your kids might be grown up and gone, and you've got a bit of a regret in you saying, I just blew it. I really didn't do what I should have done or could have done in hindsight. And God doesn't want any of us to live in hindsight or in regret in any way. So God just wants to lift off any sense of failure, any sense of isolation, any sense that you've just not done a good job and you've not really fulfilled that. Some of you might feel now, I'm not doing a very good job at this time. Well, God wants to lift off any sense of failure now, but also then, but He's saying now, okay, now step up in responsibility then in terms of what it really means now then to father, to raise your kids in whatever area you feel that's being deficient. So Father, I thank you that you've not called any of us to live in regret in any way. We just take authority right now over any sense of failure, whether that sense is now in terms of what the guys are doing or in the past because their kids are raised and they've left the home and they've, maybe they're not doing what they thought they couldn't have done a bad job. We just tear down every sense of failure right now in Jesus' name. Any sense of regret, we tear that down right now. Any sense of isolation, I'm doing a bad job and I don't think anybody else is as bad a job as I am and they're all doing a great job. We just break that lie right now in Jesus' name. That sense of isolation, any intimidation right now. Earlier on when I was praying, I just sensed there were some of the guys where sometimes you feel intimidated by your wife or your kids. Because sometimes they come across stronger about something than you do, or they tend to come across with a greater conviction about what they think should happen or what they think is right. And sometimes you've tended to back off and say, okay, okay, if that's what you want then. And at times you felt like, I'm not really happy with that. And you know, some of you, you've given your kids a bit more room than you should have done, and they've read the script and told you what it is rather than the other way around at times. And some of that is because of intimidation, and you felt intimidated. Now, we want to break that this morning, and God just wants to encourage you to rise up, not to dominate, that's not what we're talking about, but to lead. Not to be afraid of sometimes a little bit of confrontation, because sometimes you're hitting up against somebody's will and what they want. And I know generally for blokes, sometimes it'd be quite easy for us to go, well, okay, rather than having a hassle and a fight over this or having a bit of tension, I'll just, well, all right, you can do what you want. But that leads to trouble down the road. What we don't deal with now becomes bigger next time. And I don't want that in my life, and I know you don't want that in yours. So let's just take authority right now over every intimidation. If you know you've been like that, first of all, just ask the Lord to forgive you. Just repent of that. Say, God, I turn around from being intimidated and maybe at times not really saying what I've really felt was the right thing, but just letting either my wife or my kids dominate in a way where it's actually causing some friction and tension now. Just ask him to forgive. There's no condemnation whatsoever this morning in this, but he's saying, right, let's deal with it. Let's get rid of it. And let's let God encourage you so that he rises up afresh in your marriage, in your fathering, in your leadership in the home. Father, I thank you right now for that fresh touch of your spirit on any person's life who's felt like that and been in this situation. We just tear down every intimidation that has tried to pressurize any dads here. We just lift that off in Jesus' name. We just release right now the confidence of the Spirit of God and the boldness to lead with love that is strong but not domineering. A love that brings security and strength into marriage and into family life. Father, I thank you for that supernatural touch right now upon every guy that needs that in their respective situation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If all the ladies, if you want to come out of your seats and just all join all the blokes down the front, just as quick as you can, because time's run out in one sense. Now, God has called us like he spoke to Nehemiah, that we work with one hand, but we pray with another. He's called as a family, okay, not just natural blood family, but a kingdom of God blood family, as it were, that he's joined us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. That we're one family under one Father. Amen. And we've all been brought in, adopted in as sons and daughters into his family. So we're all related now. The blood of Jesus is the thing that unites us and makes us relations in that sense. It's amazing, isn't it? That spiritual blood, or the natural blood that flow, but what that means now for us in appropriating that in our lives. And in the same way that there was a trumpet sound to call the people to gather together for that corporate dynamic of faith to get together. So there was a unity of the spirit, a oneness of purpose, gathering everybody. So that everybody went, yes. Because you know, when you're strung out doing everything, after a while you can look around and say, well, I feel like I'm doing everything, but what's it going like over the other side of the city, on the other side of the walls? And when the trumpet sound came, they gathered together, and Nehemiah gave a report of, this is how it's going. And everybody was like, yeah, it's happening. Even though I can't necessarily see everything over there, it's going on because the report is good. The unity was strengthened. The faith was strengthened. The purpose was strengthened. And they just knew, this is it. We're going together. We can see this happen. And in 52 days, the whole thing was done and finished. But what happened was every nation around it caused them to then be in fear of the people of God. Because they said their God has enabled them to do it. The report that went out was their God is alive. Their God enables things to happen that are impossible. We better not come against them or we're in trouble. And as a result of that, other nations wanted a treaty or to partner with them because of what God was doing. And God wants to turn things to the point where, because of let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, because we're content for the things of God and we live for the things of God, that the world comes to us in even greater measure than some of what's going on now, saying, we want to join with you and we want to partner with you. Not will you partner with us? There's a measure of that, but society saying to us, we want to partner with you because your God's alive and he does miracles and he does stuff. Amen. So we're just going to raise a shout of victory together as a people. Amen. Over our own lives, over our homes. Because it says there in Nehemiah 4 there about go work, pray for your brothers, your sisters, your mums, your dads, your kids, your father, whatever, your homes, your community. So we're going to declare a cry of victory, but also over our town, our region, and our nation. Amen. But with the men, it's time for us in a new way to really step up to the plate. To get hold of the bat, as it were, and saying, right, come on, somebody chuck something at me, and we're going to whack it in out of touch, as it were. Rather than sitting there wondering, you can go first, or not really wanting to take the stand and say, well, I'll have a bat, come on then. God wants that kind of attitude of, okay, when's it, come on, I'll step up to the plate. A confidence in him, in your own personal life, in you as a person. Not just in spiritual gift things and all that, but in you as a person. A confidence that says, I'm the man. Amen. Priming that pump of victory of faith in our lives. Amen. So we just need to declare, let's just a shout of victory over our own lives. It's like that trumpet sound, and we all gather together saying, right, this is a gathering point this morning, declaring victory over our town like they did over Jerusalem, over the region like they did, and over our nation. Come on, let's just raise that shout of victory this morning. Yes, Lord. Yes, that victory over our lives, our homes, victory over our town, victory over this region, victory over this nation. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. We praise your name. Come on, let's just thank the Lord. This morning is a call to arms. Amen. Nehemiah said, if we do what God has called us to do, he says, the God of heaven will help us. Yes. That doesn't mean, you know, we just do what we like and he'll help us. But he says, if we do what God has called us to do, the God of heaven will help us. Yes. So for the men in particular this morning, it's going to mean just taking some responsibility. Sometimes we just need to kick in there a bit more in prayer. Pray for your family every day. If you're married, if you're not married, then pray for people in your life group. Pray for people, you know, that you got relationship with. You know, take some responsibility to pray for them, pray into their lives. If you're married, pray for your wife every day. If you got kids, pray into your kids' lives. Speak stuff over them. It's like what happens is that it just... an order, a new order will just begin to come into your family life. It's just if you do that. Because there are spiritual realities that define things in our homes and in our lives. And as you step up in that way, and you begin to hear God just drop some things into your heart. Things to encourage your wife with. Things to encourage your kids with. That will bring some strength and stability. You know, that you begin to speak into your lives, kids, in a greater way. Not because you're sitting down and start preaching to them or anything, but you just find there's a freshness about wanting to see stuff happen with your kids and the way you encourage them, the way you relate with them. You kind of feel like, actually, I need to give them a bit more quality time, or I need to not do this now myself on the computer, but actually I need to go and do this with... Or sometimes you think, I need to do that, but I'll leave that job because actually I need to do something else. And we all have that tension, don't we, with stuff that needs doing. Or you just pray. Maybe some of you don't pray with your wife that often. Maybe you just say, hey, come on, let's pray together. And you just spend a few minutes. When Jane and I pray together, we don't tend to sing that much because both of us sound like a couple of cats kind of just screaming, you know. So, but, you know, just you can still worship and just spend some time. Just pray for one another even if you don't pray about anything else. Some of the blokes, you're not married, you need to grab one or two other blokes if you don't already and say, come on, let's sharpen each other. Let's spur each other on. Let's pray together. Let's contend for each other's lives. Let's encourage and sharpen one another. You need to grab another guy, somebody you're mates with. Don't just encourage each other in what you're doing in everyday life. Encourage each other to be strengthened in the things of God. Spur each other on. Spark somebody else. Pray for them. Get something for them. Encourage them with a word. I'm praying for you. I had some scriptures for you, mate. You know, I just want to read them to you. I want to pray for you and lay hands on them and just pray the word into them. Encourage them. Say, man, that will just bless somebody's socks off when you do that kind of thing. Text somebody. Give them a quick email. Give them a quick call. That kind of thing. Just text them and say, you know, I've been thinking about you. Just shot a quick prayer up for you. Just pray you have a really great day today. Be blessed in your work. Be blessed in your meetings, whatever you're doing, in your business, in whatever deals you're doing. Just be blessed today. Be fruitful. That so encourages people. See, and we want to encourage that kind of camaraderie, that brotherhood, if you want to put it that way, or if I want to put it that way. And just to strengthen the body, spur each other on. Whatever you're doing as part of the wall today in your world, encourage it. Whatever you're doing in terms of the wall, the bit of the wall you're building, do it wholeheartedly. Just go for it. Know that I'm with you. I'm thinking about you. I'm believing with you. Amen? So just be strengthened. Turn to a few blokes and give them a big hug. We all love to do this, don't we? So that's why we're going to do it. Cool.
They've been waiting since the beginning. It's my favorite.
We're praying for them.